Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good, and we're also joined by John Peters, our Florida correspondent. Pull up a stool, Johnny. How you doing today?
Good. Good morning, fellas. How are we doing?
We're doing good. I'm drinking my morning cup of coffee. I got me a Starbucks because nobody else is offering to sponsor my coffee habit, so I'm drinking Starbucks until that happens. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I love Starbucks, so that's fine.
I got my cinnamon and vanilla. It smells so good in my office for a change. It don't smell like me. It smells like my coffee.
Yeah, it's like a potpourri of coffee.
Exactly. And clearing out this raspy voice as you guys can hear. I got a sore throat again.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with something with allergies, and I'm around dust all day. I think that could do it.
Yeah, probably. Two things that are not a good combination.
I'd be a little nervous if I wasn't just at the doctor a couple weeks ago. He said everything is good with my pipe, so I'm going to take he's good. He knows what
his
he's doing.
His diagnosis.
Easy for us to say.
Yeah.
but he put that, do you ever see that? Have you ever had that thing that goes up your nose and down?
No, just the big lollipops, the popsicle stick. That's about it.
Nah, he does the whole, it's not fun.
It doesn't sound like fun at all.
No, it's not. You sit there and grab both arms of the chair and pray for him to get done with it. So, it's hotter here to John today than is it by your house, do you think? We're 90 almost here today.
Probably maybe the heat, but we'll probably beat you in the humidity because it's been 100% the last couple of days, so...
We're about 75-80% humidity here today.
Yeah, that's probably coming my way. It's nice and cool, crisp. It's like a fall or a spring day here. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we had three of them last week, and now it's hot again, but we're supposed to get one of those wonderful thunderstorms coming through here, and it's supposed to be, we're going to have your week, Dan. Like 80-81 all week, and no humidity, John.
See, yeah, that's the biggest difference if you guys ever get down here and you actually live here, is we have 5 solid months of summer. No, there's no breaks. We don't get fronts that come through and cool us down to 85 or anything like that. It's going to be 90 to 95 every day and 100% humidity. So.
Yeah, but I'll take the winter over. Because I'm hot here anyway. Not me and Dan, in another month, we'll be in the same boat for 3 months, 2.5
months.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't you say,
oh, yeah,
then?
Yeah,
July,
yeah,
and August are ridiculous around here.
Yeah, we had a 8 to 10 week window there where pretty much it's mimics Florida weather, and then the rest of the time it's hot and cold and fronts coming and going, and you get a respite from time to time, which I think, John, that's probably what not drives you crazy, but like you said, just the day after day after day of the same thing. Although it's nice and it's sunny and it's all that, but it must kind of grate on you after a while.
It beats you down after a little bit. You get to around my birthday, the end of September, and it's like, will this ever break? So,
yeah.
But you get the second week of October, and then finally it starts to cool down a little bit. So,
yeah, me and Dennis get that from the end of December through what, middle May anymore, because it don't seem like spring wants to come.
Right,
it wants to stay cold now all the way. Up here, there's a switch. It's either cold or hot. We don't have them shoulders like we constantly cry on here, but I'm just happy we're going to have we had a week last week, and we're hoping to have another week that actually will resemble spring a little bit around here for a change.
Right, because there are advantages to living anywhere or everywhere in the country, but, living in the Northeast, that is you know, a perk, if you will, where you get those changes in seasons and the shoulder times, like I say, are the good times because it's that perfect weather, as I call it, with, you know, low humidity and warm enough during the day, and it's cool enough to sleep with the windows open at night. It's just perfect.
Wow. I'm looking forward to a week of that. I'm working because of yard work. And like you guys, John, you know when it's in the 70s, you don't mind doing working around the house. You actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, when you work all day in 90-degree heat and then come home and work out, try to work outside, it just don't work good for us old folk anymore.
No. No, I come home on a Friday and try to mow the grass after spending all day delivering food in the 90-degree heat, and it doesn't work real well. So.
Yeah, poor John broke down with his truck last week too, Dan.
Uh-oh, what happened?
It was all a computer issue. Ended up, I'm not real sure. The engine overheated, and then because of that, it told the computer to shut it down. And then so once I've got some coolant back into the reservoir and everything's fine, the computer went on the blink and would not let the truck start back up. So
of course, and, they got to get that service call.
Yep, and you had to tow it, you know, 100 miles to get it back to the rider shop to blank out the computer. It's ridiculous. It really was.
But, so did somebody else have to do your route that day, or how did that
work? No, I started 6.5 hours late and finished in the middle of the night. So.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
And no backup plans for John. So.
Did you at least get overtime for that?
No, I'm on a salary. So.
Oh, that stinks. So you had a 13-hour day.
It was more like, about 17-hour day, actually.
I would feel bad for you if you weren't off 3 days a week.
Well, that's why I'm off 3 days a week. My short days are usually 12 hours.
I'm just kidding with you, 15, John.
So. Well, no matter what, the sundries must get to Disney World, so we can't have John not doing his route.
People got to eat. So.
That's right.
Absolutely. And we also want to – there were some bad things going on down around you, John, and that – shooting at the nightclub. We just want to say our thoughts and prayers go out to the families.
Absolutely.
Yeah, terrible, terrible tragedy.
Yeah, like I was telling you guys before the show, that's why I love Disney World so much. There's so much hate and violence in the world. It's nice to get away to a fun place. So.
Yeah, well, that's why we do this on Sundays. It takes us to our happy place.
Yeah.
Yep. In the bubble we go.
Yeah, exactly. So our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families down there. We feel really bad, and let's have some fun news, like we can yell about ticket increases, and that's our bad day.
That seems like that's a common thread these days. Yeah. All right, yeah, let's see what we got for news this week. So, video surface of Les Parfaits in Conus. They debuted at Epcot's Canada Pavilion, and let's see here. It's a new live act that's now playing in the World Showcase, combining music, comedy, and acrobatics. We heard about these a couple of weeks ago, or this group coming, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. They're from Montreal, Canada. The group blends music, comedy, and circus acrobatics in a 20-minute performance on the Mill stage at the Canada Pavilion. Like other recent acts at Epcot, Les Parfaits in Conus will be performing at Epcot for a limited time this summer. Showtimes at 12 p.m., 1:15 p.m., 2:15, 3:50, 5, and 6:15 p.m. daily. And the video, I did not watch it. I'm assuming you did, Doug. You seem to be on these videos when they come out.
How do you guess that I've watched that, man?
I don't know. Just a thought.
Now, John, have you seen them yet?
No, but that actually sounds somewhat interesting, almost like a Cirque du Soleil light type thing, maybe where you get just a little touch of what Cirque du Soleil would be like. And we've never seen that show, so maybe we'd really have to get out there and check this new act out. So.
It actually looks pretty fun. It's way better than the Lumberjacks, I'll tell you that. Which you don't. I think me, you, and Dan could go down there and do something better than the Lumberjacks.
That ain't saying much.
Exactly. We could stand there and look stupid, just not make any noise, and we'd make people happy. But the show's really good. It's interactive. Like, they get audience members to grab to juggle with them and stuff like that. They start off with bags on their head and come out, and they play some instruments. And it's kind of reminds you a little bit of remember in Italy how they juggled the chairs and all that stuff, how they do that?
Yep.
It's kind of a take on that, in my opinion. It's pretty cool. It's probably a 10-minute show that has 10 minutes of goofing around with the audience.
Right.
You know, there's some lags in the middle of it where you'll see them joking or talking or meandering. Like, before they go to juggle, they'll have to stop like four times to pick on the guy who or a girl who they're going to get the help. But I think it's okay. But the bottom line is, bring back off kilter.
Yeah, I mean, they're keeping to their, you know, they said they were going to do this. They were going to cycle or circulate, you know, different acts and groups in and out frequently. So it seems that they're keeping to that plan, at least for right now. And maybe if they, you know, stumble upon something that seems to be real popular, they'll keep it, you know, either permanently or for a longer engagement. But for right now, they're, you know, just saying this show is going to go throughout the summer.
Again, if we didn't have the love of kilter, if that wasn't like what we grew up on, this would be really cool too. I could probably like this. It just, you've already have something that you prefer. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You're jaded before you even watch it because you just want the show to everybody want it back. But I don't think, like we've talked about before, Dan, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But I think you'll enjoy it, John. I really do. If you just, it fits in the World Showcase. It really does. It goes with all the other acts.
Yeah, we'll have to give it a shot.
More than the chainsaws, you know. I mean, I mean, Dennis thinks Frozen's a little off being a World Showcase. I think the chainsaws were off the chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that they say they're from Montreal or Quebec, wherever it was they were from, I mean, you know, the Lumberjacks, although they portrayed being from someplace in Canada, they actually were locals from down there in Orlando or Lake Buena Vista, wherever. So, I mean, if it is a true act that they brought in from Canada, that's more in keeping with the culture and all that good stuff. So that's a step in the right direction as well.
Yeah, it's good. I think you'll like it. I mean, I enjoyed the video. Brenda and me were watching it actually this morning. And they like, get on this barrel, and then they put a board across it, and they all climb on, like, two are on it, going back and forth. They juggle, and then the next guy climbs on top of the barrel as it's going up and down. So it's funny. You know, I mean, I think you'll enjoy it, John, especially with a couple cold ones just standing there. It's entertaining.
Well, Finn DeBond in the show, I'll be all right.
So. Yeah, it's entertaining.
You can go to the Rose and Crown there and grab a beer at the you know, at the outside little booth there, and then just walk down a little ways and catch the show.
Could be good, John.
All right. Yeah, it's right in between my two favorite beers out at World Showcase.
So yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Like you said, you can go right down while you're there at the Canadian Pavilion and get your beer right there.
Yeah.
So you're ready to go, John. Beer and juggling, you're in.
As long as I'm not doing the juggling.
Yeah, because you'll drop your beer, and that would be a problem.
Exactly. Let's see here. The Plaza Restaurant to offer more walk-in availability and a reduction in reservation availability. The Magic Kingdom's Plaza Restaurant will be offering more walk-up availability later this summer. Beginning July 17th, reservations will only be available between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. For the remainder of the operating day, the restaurant will be open for walk-in guests. The recently opened Jungle Cruise Skipper Canteen had recently been reserved for walk-up guests, but has since changed to allow advance reservations to be made. It appears that the Plaza will now be taking up the table service dining walk-up role. If you are visiting from July 17th, head on to the podium outside the Plaza for availability information.
Yeah, wasn't it you mentioned that you couldn't get in and there was plenty of seats available?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, a couple of months ago, we had a lunch reservation, ended up being on Sunday instead of Saturday, and we were there on Saturday. So
yeah, and you tried to walk up and you said half the tables were empty. And
yep, yeah, there was like three families in there, and the rest of the tables were empty, and they wouldn't seat us. So
that's a shame, because that's one of the restaurants that me and Dennis recommend highly. I've never had a bad meal here.
No, we covered it a little bit in depth, and, you know, for sandwiches and just, you know, a lunch or a light dinner or whatever, however you want to look at it, it's awesome for that. They get some varied things on the menu that are good. I've had several of them, and, you know, with that and the availability to get ice cream there, it's a good little place. You know, the only point being little is the word there. You know, they're going to push all these people to do counter service there, but it's not going to be able to handle the volume of guests going there because the seating is very, very limited inside. And, you know, I guess you could utilize some of the seating on the outside, but even that has, there's less of that seating with the, you know, with the renovation they just did to the hub. So, you know, getting there may be one thing, finding a seat, availability for a seat may be another.
Yeah, the thing I like about the place is that it has, the prices are awesome, and they're about the same as your counter service, but you're being waited on. I mean, I know you got to give a tip and all, but it's nice to just sit down, not have to stand in the line, not watch the parents get their six kids and trying to figure out what they want, and or they're standing in line the whole time looking at their phone, and then they wait to get to the front of the line, and then the hostess is standing there saying, what do you want? And then the lady saying, give me a minute. And then she asked all her kids what she wants. And, you know, it stops that aggravation because, like, the cheesesteak sandwich is $13.49. A grilled Reuben's $12.99. The cheeseburger's a little more, $15.99. But it does come with fries and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, you got a meatloaf meal, which is $18.99. But Plaza Club, $12.99. Grilled chicken sandwich, $13.49. So the prices are in line with the Columbia Harbor House and Pecos Bills. Wouldn't you guys agree for the regular sandwiches?
Oh, absolutely. And the food is a little bit different. I mean, what you mentioned, you know, Columbia Harbor House is somewhat seafood heavy. You know, and some people don't like seafood. So if you're into, like you said, the steak sandwiches or some of the, you know, good old meatloaf and stuff like that, you can get that here. And you know, Pecos Bills now is the Tex-Mex. So, you know, although it's you know, counter service still, it is a somewhat of a different menu than those other two places.
Well, if you want to get a cheeseburger, you can go here and get one. It's another place to get a cheeseburger that Pecos is going. And I know somebody wrote me they have a cheeseburger on the menu, but it's like it's a Tex-Mex style. Like it's a Southwest cheeseburger or something.
And they're not going to have your toppings anyway. No, I mean, that was the big deal of the Pecos Bills was that toppings bar for the burger. So.
Because I'm a guy that just likes, I am not into all the sauces and Southwest and this and that. I mean, if I want Southwest, I want burritos or, you understand? I want Southwest food. I don't want my cheeseburger becoming Southwest. It's like making pizza Chinese. I don't like Chinese pizza. Do you guys?
No.
You understand what I'm saying? It's like, I don't like, I like my cheeseburger. I like with cheese, fried onions, tomato, and lettuce. I want a cheeseburger. I want to taste the burger.
You want the traditional burger. You don't want these exotic avocado and all this other stuff they put on them.
Yeah, I don't need Southwestern, Northwestern. I just want a cheeseburger.
I think Jimmy Buffett had it pretty right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, they have, but they also have, which is good, strawberry chicken salad, $15.49. It's all fresh strawberries, chicken. So they have really good options here. And like I said, it's counter service pricing for most of it. And you just, but you get served, and I like that. It takes away all the aggravation of standing in line.
Yeah. The only downside to it is, you know, you were able to get an ADR, and you'll still be able to at, you know, them certain that window that they gave. But other than that, it's going to be every man for himself.
Yeah, I think if you're 30 days out, you won't have a problem for the most part. You didn't have a problem getting a reservation, did you, John?
No. I wish I would have got it on the right day.
Exactly.
I think I had checked it like 3 or 4 days before and I found availability. So.
Yeah, I think if your heart's set on it, you can get a reservation here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, most people that maybe go once every 5 years or something, they're going to want to try the, you know, Skipper's Canteen and some of the newer places anyway. So that in itself may lend itself to, you know, still decent availability for the Plaza because it's a, you know, it's been there for so long and most people have probably eaten there already.
Walk by it because they don't see it.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. I was going to say with the type of food they have, it's kind of, as Doug would say, you know, kind of maybe the diner food or closer to the diner type stuff, and maybe that is the type that lends itself a little more to, you just feel like walking up and getting it, while the Skipper Canteen is a little more exotic, and maybe you will want to plan that out a little more, you know, so you have to think about that one a little bit. So
this menu here is something for everybody, so let's all go to the Plaza. Get a beef brisket with onion. Beef brisket onion burger sounds good to me.
Yeah, it does.
Next story is just kind of confirming that the construction continues on the Planet Hollywood redevelopment. Yeah, they're starting to build some adjacent structures to it, some metalwork and stuff like that. So nothing much to report here. You can still see the old
spear.
Yeah, better word. Yeah, so, you know, that's probably the thing that looks the least done in the whole Disney Springs area now is this thing. And hopefully by the time I get there in the fall, it's done. So it really, really is complete. But just note, if you're going down there, you still will see some cranes and some construction walls and that sort of stuff down in and around Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll know how to act going to Disney World without a ton of cranes, all the stuff going on around there with the construction.
Yeah, it's kind of
green walls everywhere, and
yeah, I know you like that, and you always say you find it interesting, given what you do for work, and I do as well. But you're right. I think it will be kind of a relief to enjoy our Disney World without so much construction going on.
Well, it'll be nice to go to the – I'll be okay with the studios because I know the end game for that.
Right.
But Magic Kingdom, I'll be happy to roam through the hub without all the, you know, stuff up. You know, that's nice when that's down. Because there's nothing worse than when you're going down – there's a lot of things worse. But when you're going down Main Street and they have the tarps hanging with the fake facade on it. And
yeah, this –
The screens.
It kind of takes away the, you give them credit for going the extra mile to even put that there, because most places would just put a tarp that's any color,
right,
and wouldn't care. But it's nice to roam around. It's also going to be nice to drive around Disney Springs without all the junk going on.
Yeah, I mean, I should have said that. Yeah, so obviously there'll still be massive construction going on at the studios and even over at Animal Kingdom for that matter. So there'll still be some construction during your vacation. But, you know, this previous year, it's been almost all four parks and, you know, Disney Springs, you know, together. And, you know, we're going to cover some stories later in the show here. You know, they're starting to, the water parks are starting to, you know, have some stuff done to them as well.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so.
Like you're saying, it will be nice, though, not to have to deal with, to have the Magic Kingdom back. You know,
right.
You know, because the last four or five trips I've been down there, there's been something going on somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any construction going on at all now, last time you were at the Magic Kingdom, John?
I think the last thing that I saw finishing up was the Skipper Canteen. And so I don't think, the last time we were there, that was open, and I don't believe there was construction walls up anywhere there. So
yeah, I think, aren't they doing a renovation to the Swiss Family Tree House thing there? Yeah, that might be the only thing left that's actively under construction. But and that, I thought, was going to be several weeks at least.
Yeah, and that I could deal with. They probably don't even have big walls up there because they probably just have the gate chained off, I would think, a little bit. Because it is secluded a little bit as it is, you know. But it'll be nice not – it's nice – isn't it so much nicer to roam around the hub now without all the walls and the Main Street being worked on at the same time? I was down there the one year where Main Street had facades hanging, plus the green walls were up. It was like you were so claustrophobic roaming up and down Main Street there. It's just nice to have the park back.
Yeah, it's all wide open now, so it feels very nice.
You feel like one of the mouse in the maze, as they call it, right? You can't see over the top. And
when that was going on, it was horrible.
Yeah, but like you said, and it is true, you know what the end game is, and you're willing to accept it and kind of make the best of it because you know a couple trips down the road, it's going to look awesome.
Studios, they could put a wall around the entire park and I'd be okay. Just get it done. Make it new.
Right.
I don't know. I don't have to go.
Exactly.
If they did that, even though I'm going to go on my next trip, but if they did say it was closed, it would kind of make me happy in a way because it would make me not have to go. Because there's so many other things there is to do. You know, it'll be hard if it's open not to go over there to roam around to see Toy Story, to head over to if the Writer's Stop is still, you know, kicking at that point. It'll be hard not to roam the park, go down Hollywood Boulevard and stuff. But if they didn't give me the option, I'd be okay with that too because it would make me do other things.
Yeah, it'd give you more time to do maybe you do some of your favorites twice or do something you've never done once. And but if it is open, I know what you mean.
It's hard not to go.
Kind of obligated, even though nobody's telling you you have to go, but you feel like your trip would be somewhat incomplete if you didn't.
Exactly. I have to hit all four parks plus downtown every single trip.
There you go. So, let's see here.
Thank God I don't have that rule.
Yeah, John. Yeah, your homing device goes right to World Showcase, I think.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
No.
Let's see here. Low rates at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin through late August. The Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort is offering special low rates throughout the summer. Using rate code AWAKEN, you can get rates starting as low as $165 per night at the deluxe Walt Disney World Resort Hotel, along with 20% off services at the recently renovated Mandara Spa. Reservations can be made at www.swandolphin.com/offers, or you can call 1-800-227-1500 using the code AWAKEN. Taxes, resort fees, and gratuities are not included. Yeah, Doug, you've stayed here multiple times. Is this a good deal?
It's an awesome deal. It's a deluxe resort at moderate prices now. You're talking, you're Disney, you're World Showcase almost. Well, you know, you're there with the Boardwalk and the Yacht and Beach Club. I love this resort. I mean, it's tempting me at those prices.
Yeah.
Think about it, with taxes and gratuity, you're probably right around a deuce with the resort fees, you know.
Yeah.
But it's still a good deal if you're thinking all the other resorts around there in the three bill plus range for any room.
Yeah, I mean, through late August, so this would be done by the time I go there. I was just trying to think of what I'm going to be paying for Coronado, but it doesn't matter because I couldn't get it anyways. But yeah, I'd like to take advantage of this one of these years. I've heard good things about it, the beds, and like you said, the location can't be beat. You're as good as being at the Boardwalk or Beach Club, like you said, and depending on what building you're in and what side of the building you're in, you can see fireworks shows at night if you weren't going to be at the parks themselves. There's a lot of advantages to these particular resorts and their location.
One of the things that I think is nice about the Swan and Dolphin is you're right at, you know, the Boardwalk. You get all the amenities of the Boardwalk and the Yacht and Beach Club. But the way it sits back behind the two, it's more subdued. It's a little more relaxing, and you get off the beaten path. You don't have the hustle or the bustle of the Boardwalk going on.
Right, and they have some world-class restaurants in those two hotels, as we know. And you got Shula's and
Tony's Blue Zone.
Blue Zoo there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome for that, and if anybody knows, if you've taken the watercraft to either the Studios or Epcot, they have a stop right there at the Swan Dolphin, so you even get to use the watercraft to get to those two locations if you so choose.
The thing is the watercraft, the Friendship Landing area there, is nicer than either one of Disney's.
Yeah,
they have cover, don't they?
Exactly. You can sit there, and it's beautiful. You got these awnings. The breeze blows through there. You go to the Boardwalk or the Yacht and Beach Club, you're out there like a baked potato waiting for the boat to come, because even the ramps are stainless steel.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, the Swan and Dolphin, I've stayed here multiple times, and we've never had a bad stay. The one time we stayed there, I told the story, they upgraded us to a suite for the same price, which was absolutely gorgeous. I looked out off my balcony every night at the Hollywood Tower of Terror, which was beautiful, and it was a beautiful suite with the full living room. It was really, really nice.
Yeah.
And
okay.
They take care of you there. Yeah. The only difference is it don't have the Disney. They're dressed in normal hotel attire. It isn't like they have the theme attire on.
Right. And I was going to say, when we did our one of our dining shows, as I recall, they do have a character breakfast over there for the kids, so you still can see characters. I forget which ones they are, but I think it's the Fab Five or at least a couple of them. And, so they do, although it's, you know, like you said, you don't have the Disney cast members. It's as close as you can get, you know, without being, having the Disney cast members. And if you have a hankering for that, you just got to take a few steps down to the Boardwalk and you're right there on property. So, you're on property even when you're there. It's kind of weird the way it is, but
On property, but it's the Garden Grove that has the breakfast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the children's breakfast. And it with all the characters and the meals, one of the offerings here, we liked it better than some of the other ones. Me and you were both talking about going.
Exactly.
Yeah, that seafood one, seafood dinner sounded really good. And so, yeah. I was going to say, the last time we walked through there, we went to the gift shop, and even though they aren't Disney employees technically, they still do pin trading and stuff in there, because my wife actually got a couple of really decent trades out of them. So.
Oh, you gave away a hidden gem there.
Well, there you go. Sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, we did cover this stuff. I mean, I think the other amenities, not the amenities, but the service charges, I think there's a daily resort fee, and I'm pretty sure there's a parking, $20 parking fee too. So if you do drive, you got to, you know, factor that into the $165 and all that. But even at that price, like Doug said, if you're up around two bills, it's still a good value.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a deluxe, because they have a spa on property. They have, I mean, they have a, not a spa, gym on property. They have all the restaurants. There's multiple. I mean, all the restaurants that we've eaten at here, and we've eaten at quite a few, because you have the Garden Grove, you got Milan, New York Triacho, you got the Java Bar, Kimono's, Splash Terrace, and then they serve, that's just at the Swan. All them restaurants, and wow. Then at the Dolphin, you got, you know, the Cabana Bar, the Dolphin Resort. They serve the Fountain, Fresh Mandarin Market, Peekaboo. That's like their, that's kind of like a
quick service.
Yeah, it's their food court area,
yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yep.
You got Shula's Takeout, Steakhouse, and then you got Todd English Bluzo. Mm-hmm. So you got probably like 16 different food offerings between the two resorts.
Yeah,
which isn't bad.
That's just those two, and then walk over to Boardwalk. So, you know, geez.
Yeah, I just like the seclusion of it. Like you said, John, with the for the friendship boats, it's one of the nicest areas to wait for your transportation out of any of the resorts on the entire property. I mean, that's one of the things I like about Riverside, at least with their bus stops, they're in the shade usually with right. The fans blowing.
Yeah, I mean, not only for the, you know, the sun and the heat, but, you know, we all know how those Florida thunderstorms in the afternoon crop up. I mean, if you're in line for the boats, you have the awning there, so you can still stand there and not get soaked and continue on, because, you know, we all know the storm's going to cease 15 minutes later. But if you're over at the boardwalk, like you said, Doug, you're out in the middle of the lagoon there, you're running for cover.
I mean, it's weird how, like, that's set up. There's hardly any room there. Like, I know you have the whole boardwalk, but wouldn't you think they'd have like an area just dedicated to waiting for the boats, instead
yeah.
of having to just like you just feel like everywhere you're standing, you're out of place up there. It's just it's hard to explain the boardwalk area to
yeah,
get on the boat.
It's almost like they don't want you to be comfortable for some reason, or maybe they figure that you're better off up in the store spending money. They don't want you hanging around the boat dock.
No, but then you feel
walk.
You're gonna miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to explain. What's there? I think there's the last time we were there waiting, I think there's only one bench there. Am I wrong about that? I only remember one bench at the top of the boardwalk right by the boat area.
Yeah, I think it's right across the street there. It's one or two benches, but it's not any more than that. That's you're correct.
Yeah, they don't want to accommodate a crowd. like I understand the one at the Riverside. Know how you got to walk around the where they rent the boats out?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like a cattle chute there. But at
right.
least there's a lot of room. You know what everybody's doing. Like, sometimes people will be meandering around up on the boardwalk. You don't know if they're waiting for the boat. There's been times
right.
I'm waiting for people to go because I think they were there before me. And right. they're just lost on the boardwalk.
Doug's letting everybody in front of him.
Yeah.
I just, honestly, I just skip that boat altogether. I just walk from the boardwalk if we happen to be standing
Oh, you just
there.
Go by the ESPN and up there.
We
yeah.
always do too, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I just once in a while we'll get on it to for the enjoyment of it.
Right.
Where
yeah.
I've actually gotten off there from the studios and walked back, like when we came from the studios and walked back to the board, you know, to walk the boardwalk and then go back to the Swan and Dolphin.
Yeah,
so.
It is a short walk from there anyway. So
yeah, it's a nice area. I highly recommend it. You've never stayed there, John?
Yeah. We stayed at Boardwalk and.
I'm talking
Beach
about
Club.
The Swan and Dolphin.
Oh, Swan and Dolphin, no. I have delivered there for 20-something years to the back docks. So I know the back room like a glove. But, no, we've never actually stayed in the – and I've always wanted to because it's one of them things where, you know, you work at a place for so long, you really want to enjoy the amenities of it. So,
yeah.
But
you should try it one of these times. You should see what the – Florida. You never checked Florida resident rates there?
I've checked it a couple of times, but it's like I was saying when we stayed out at Universal, that nickel and diming stuff always gets to me after a while. It drives me crazy where, you know, your room's this, but then you get there and you got to pay a resort fee and you got to pay the parking. And so I've always kind of passed on it because of that type of stuff. But at that price, even if like they added all that stuff on, it's still less than I'd priced out French Quarter. So I'd priced out French Quarter and the best rate I could find was $207 a night. So I think it'd still be a little cheaper than that. And you would be within walking distance of Epcot. So it'd be worth it. So
exactly. It might be worth you headed over there.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll have to look into it.
All right. What do we got next here? Frontieria Concierge at Disney Springs nears completion. The chef Rick Bayless restaurant will offer gourmet fresh Mexican menu with menu items including crispy half chicken, a shrimp mojo diajo, cartinas, here we go again, red chili chicken enchiladas, carne asada tacos, and conchintia pibil torta.
Easy for you to say.
Not really. Located alongside the spring at the center of Disney Springs, the restaurant will offer both indoor and outdoor seating with views of the water. Reservations for Frontera Cocina are now available at Open Table through an official opening, although an official opening date has not yet been announced. So here we go. Another restaurant coming online. Joy, joy.
Just another thing to throw a monkey wrench into the problem of where am I going to eat on my next trip.
Right.
This is more for John, though. I think you'll enjoy this, John.
Yeah, both me and my wife enjoy that type of food a lot, so I think we probably would like it. So
yeah, give it a shot. I mean, the menu, John, you'd probably be able to read it better than me and Dennis at this point. Yeah, you know, with all the enchiladas and tortilla soup, and I won't even get into trying to pronunciate half the stuff on this menu. You know, I read it more of, instead of that, roasted potatoes, roasted poblanos. I'd rather read what's in it than what the name is. I'd butcher this one up more than you, Dan.
Yes, yeah, that's not my strong suit. Any language but English, and English is a chew off of me at times too.
We got to do a dining review on this, and then put "sorry" right before. Sorry about everything we just said.
We are not responsible for our pronunciations.
No, just to go back real quick, John, on the boardwalk. I mean, on the Swan and Dolphin, the cheapest room. A value season at the boardwalk is $408, and the cheapest room at the Yacht and Beach Club is $356. So it's like $165 less to stay at the Swan and Dolphin.
Yeah, you can almost do two. You can almost do two nights for the price of one night, right?
So yeah, that's a pretty good deal, guys.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. So,
but yeah, then you can afford to eat here at the new Mexican restaurant in downtown Disney more a couple more nights.
Sounds like a plan.
There you go, Johnny.
Let's see. Disney has shared a new behind-the-scenes look at the upcoming Soarin' Around the World with Imagineer Tom Fitzgerald. Opening at both Disneyland and Epcot on June 17th, Soarin' Around the World will take guests on new destinations including the Great Wall of China, Sydney Harbor in Australia, Monument Valley, Great Pyramids of Egypt, Switzerland's Matterhorn Mountain, and the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Yeah, we're getting close to the big kickoff here.
John, did you seen this Soarin' video? It was much clearer, correct?
Yes, yeah, it was a lot prettier. And there was none of the artifacts or whatever you call it in the film itself anymore. So none of those black spots and stuff like that. So.
So I can't wait. Are you going to be there? When's the first time you're going to get to see this for us?
I've got a fast pass on our vacation, so that's until July, and we're probably going to go out on July 3rd to see the fireworks at Hollywood Studios for the 4th. So I've got a fast pass that day for, I hate to say it, guys, but my wife wanted to ride Frozen instead of the new Soarin'. So we've got Frozen fast passes for that day. So if we go again, I'll try to get a Soarin', but we might not get it to it until our vacation at the end of July.
Because they're both different tiers, right? So
no, yeah, they're the same one.
Same
tier. So you, I see what you're saying. And the chance of it being available later in the day is slim and none.
Yeah, and if I got out there, I would have to really talk her into getting up early to get to rope drop, so I don't think how that's going to happen. But
well, maybe you could go to the rope drop, let her take her time to get ready, and go back to get her after you ride it.
Well, we're going to be leaving from the house. I'm not.
Oh, okay. There you go. I thought you were staying there for that night. I'm so used to you being there. Sorry, I got the itinerary confused.
No. That day, we're just going out for the day to probably just see the fireworks at Hollywood Studios for the 4th.
My goodness. What would you pick, Dan? Would it even be close for you, Soarin' or the Frozen Ride?
Well, I mean, in all seriousness, I have to see them both. I mean,
me too.
So it wouldn't really matter to me if I did one or the other. I want to see both. So, I think it would probably matter what time availability there was when I made my fast pass. If it more is in keeping with, we like to do our stuff earlier in the day. So if one or the other was available like before 11 a.m. and I could get it out of the way before heading over to World Showcase, I would do that one, whatever one it was.
The only thing I could say is I've seen more on Soarin' Around the World. I've actually watched the video a couple times. I watched this one here. It showed the helicopter flying over the Great Wall of China, the whole nine yards. So as of this point, the Frozen ride has been more hidden than what Soarin' has been. I don't know that much about the Soarin' ride. Do you guys?
No, not at all, and it's a totally new experience. As you know, Soarin', the mechanics of the ride are basically going to be the same, and I think Frozen's going to follow the same track, but it's going to be all new animatronics and stuff on the ride. So, and Doug, you have to give me a little credit. I allowed my wife to make the decision.
There you go. I'm giving you credit. You did the right thing. I was just saying, me personally, I wasn't trying to judge you and saying you're wrong for this. It would be hard for me. I was just asking. I was just doing what do you think of first, kind of putting Dennis on the spot, what he would choose. And like a true politician, he chose both.
Yeah.
He wouldn't make a stand.
Exactly. I keep everyone happy.
Yes, but I can't wait for both, and you're right. There's so many things I can't wait for when we go down on our next trip. I mean, if they add multiple animatronics to Frozen, it'll be much more than what Maelstrom had. And I love Maelstrom, but there really wasn't a lot to it as far as animatronics. It was cool for what it was, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with the entire space.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at it from an adult's perspective, I mean, it's going to, you know, we say this all the time. It's Disney World. There's kids everywhere. But you can imagine there's going to be lots of small, little, screaming, crying kids over at Frozen, where Soarin' is more, you know, you get a more diverse, guest in line. So it's going to be a lot more hectic over in the Norway Pavilion than it will be over in the Land Pavilion for Soarin'.
Yeah, I think the only way I'm ever going to ride Frozen is with a fast pass. I can't see myself ever waiting in that line for that. Can you?
So.
No,
I mean,
it's
going to
be super interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be super popular. I mean, that movie is, you know, the biggest grossing animated movie of all time, and the kids love it, and it's just going to be crazy, the amount of crowds over there, because I would think that Disney, once that opens up, they're going to start promoting, this ride on the Disney Channel and getting all the kids jacked up, and that's all they're going to want to see when they go to Disney World is this new Frozen ride, and it's going to be, we keep talking about a bottleneck and getting rid of the margarita bar there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably going to be frozen snowmen there or something they're going to sell to go along with the ride.
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe they take Donald out of there, like we were saying, and maybe they'll do a meet and greet with Olaf or something like that. Who knows?
I can't wait for both. And I hope, again, the good thing is going to be it'll draw. It's another attraction over at that park, and it might slow down the attack on Soarin' and Test Track and draw more people over there for especially around 11 o'clock when World Showcase opens. Well, you know that'll be open at 9, don't you think, guys?
Yeah, I have to say that with the crowd they're going to expect there, they're going to have to start opening at 9 o'clock.
I thought we mentioned that. It's vague, but I'm pretty sure they said that it would be opening at 9 as opposed to 11. So I know when I go in World Showcase, I'll be banging a hard right heading to Canada. That's
I'm weird. I always have. I always go around World Showcase, Canada first.
Yeah.
I don't know which guy way you guys go, but if I'm coming anymore, 90% of the time I'm coming in from by United Kingdom through International Gateway. But when I do come in through the front of the park, or if we're coming back from, like, if we come in International Gateway, go roam around Future World, and then head back, we always go right towards Canada. I never go towards Mexico.
Yeah, I've always gone the Canadian route, too. It's just why, I don't know. But if I'm
always counterclockwise. We're backwards then.
Yeah.
Same here. So what is it? Something in our DNA, I guess. I don't know, but that's generally the way we go. Well, I go for a very specific reason.
Yeah.
Where the Lefendemont is in Canada. So.
Right.
Yeah, we were usually going to Le Cellier.
Well,
yeah,
there you go.
So, that makes
food
sense.
Food and drink, that's what we're all after. So.
Yeah. But my favorite side of World Showcase kind of is I like Canada. You know, not that I don't like the other countries, but I just prefer, you know, Canada and, you know, the United Kingdom and even France and, you know, Germany down that way. So, you know, I'm drawn to that side of World Showcase anyway. So that probably has more to do with it than anything else. And then once they threw Spice Road Table in there, I got a lot of reasons to head that way when I head into World Showcase.
Now you're making me hungry. No, but I was just curious because I think I heard something too, Denny, you were mentioning that, but it'll be the first time any attraction's been open in World Showcase
right.
at 9 o'clock.
Exactly. They're breaking the mold there. But, yeah, in order to accommodate, hundreds of thousands of guests a day that are going to go on that attraction, they're not going to lose 2 hours in the morning, you know, with it being, you know, dark. They can't.
I hope so because it'll free up, like I said, first thing in the morning. It'll be nice. Everybody's bolting back to Frozen, and I can just meander over to Test Track.
Yeah, you'll be able to just breeze right on that in all likelihood.
Well, it also might help with the three of them being on the Fast Pass tier. If more
all
people
right.
take that, it'll open up more Fast Pass, too,
yep.
for us to get one for Soarin' and then walk over and wait for Test Track. Because
yeah.
I'd rather wait in the Test Track line any day over the Soarin' line.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So,
without a doubt.
But it'll free that up.
Yeah. Let's see here. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique now open alongside Once Upon a Toy Story at Disney Springs. Themed as a country parlor, the new location offers an expanded salon with interactive features and a new photo room to capture the transformations. Pricing remains, as before, ranging from $19.95 to $199.95 plus tax for ages 3 to 12. Reservations are recommended by calling 407-939-7895. The original Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique inside the World of Disney store is now closed. The Magic Kingdom location inside Cinderella Castle continues to operate as normal. Once Upon a Toy continues to carry a range of games and toys, along with the new Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique experience at the rear of the building. A separate entrance is available to the boutique.
Now, I'm glad it gives more room. I like this because it frees up there was a lot of traffic around the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in the World of Disney. In the store, don't you guys think? It'll be nice that it has its own area for the parents to hang out with the kids and all. And it'll open up room for something else to go in the Disney store for me.
More merchandise.
Yeah. Yeah, they need more room.
But, well, I don't have a little princess to take over to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. So me being selfish, it gives me something else to roam around through at the World of Disney. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're already expanded or they're going to be expanding. Plus, to your point, Doug, with that big room they were using for the boutique, I mean, they're going to put something in there. So that's all good. More Disney stuff is never a bad thing.
The thing was, for me, it was, and not being, I know there's going to be kids around and all, but there was a lot of times where when kids were waiting to get into that, it would tie up, it would take up space where you were roaming around them. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You had kids underfoot all the time as far as waiting for that.
Right.
It'll be nice that they'll be in their own little area waiting. And I think it'll be better for the parents, too, because this is set up completely for it. And I'm sure everything that was wrong with it being in the World of Disney, they fixed to kind of make it even easier for the parents.
Right, and down that end of the store where the boutique was, it is a bottleneck there. And you're right, Doug, with the people, you know, the kids running around and stuff like that. You're right, it's just more hectic over there. And, you know, now it'll just be kind of a traditional store. And I tended not to spend a lot of time down there because it's kind of the infant slash girls area. And I tend to hang in the men's room over there with all the manly stuff, and on the other side where the electronics are. So, but I do know what you mean. It is, it was a little restrictive down that end.
Yeah, I love roaming around that entire store because you would find different things at different places. Me and Brenda liked around the cooking area.
Yep.
With all the aprons and all the cooking stuff. And like, it would get a little hectic in there with the Bippity Boppity Boutique. What's up next, Denny?
Yes, plans filed for a new family raft ride at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. Disney has filed plans for a new attraction at its Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. The new family raft ride is planned to be located near the Crush and Gusher attraction on unused land. The image that you can't see, listeners, but shows the foundation footers, which indicate the likely path of the new ride. It's indicated in yellow. It's pretty good size. It has been 8 years since Disney has last added an attraction to its water parks, and that was Crush and Gusher at Typhoon Lagoon. Construction for that began in October of 2004. Was officially announced in November of 2004 with an opening in March of 2005. The water park wars will soon be heating up in Central Florida, with Universal opening its Volcano Bay Water Park in 2017. Disney has not yet made any announcements concerning the project.
Now, I'm one of the things in the back of my mind, does this make Cali River Rapids go away if they do another rapid? And I'm just, you know me, I'm just thinking outside the box. Maybe they're building this so they can use that space for something else over at the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, anything's possible, but I think it has more to do with what the story said, with Universal coming out with this allegedly epic water park. It's probably to kind of shoot some, you know, get something new and exciting in the Disney water parks.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Johnny.
No, the construction for that Volcano Bay is right next to where we were out at Universal at Cabana Bay. And so it's going to be within walking distance of that. And everything I've seen of that, it looks just fantastic and gorgeous. So I can imagine that Disney's probably going to have to ramp up a little bit to keep leading the, you know, the water parks here. So.
Yeah, and again, I just don't think – I'm hoping that it does do something, because I think Cali's a nice ride, but it's more – I can't do it because it just ruins my day getting soaked. Do you enjoy that ride, John?
Actually, yeah. I'm a little different attitude than you guys. I wear real light clothes all the time that dries real easy, and I wear sandals. And I know technically you hear all the time you're not supposed to wear sandals all day, but I do, and I always have. When I go to the parks and I get wet, I'm usually dry within an hour standing in the sun, so I have no problem. So, yeah, I do all those. When I go to Universal, I do the water rides. When I go to Disney, I don't have a problem riding Splash Mountain, getting wet, or heck, last time I got wetter on Pirates of the Caribbean than I did on anything else. So, yeah, I never have a problem with it just because of what I'm wearing. So,
yeah, like me and Bran, it's like a whole to-do. I mean, I ain't going on it because it's going to ruin her day. And it, you know what I'm saying? Because she won't go on it, so it's like you're leaving her standing around.
Yeah, my wife's not going on it. So,
no,
but
if we're going to the water park, she's in a bathing suit, she has her hair up, we would have more fun on it at the water parks than we do at the Animal Kingdom. I just think I'd rather all that land be two rides instead of being Cali River Rapids. And if I want to go on the rapids, head over to the water park. That's my opinion on that. You know, at least Splash, I can go on at certain times of the year where I know I'm not going to get soaked. There's time there, because even with that, I wish there was one of the podcasts we listened to. Lou's over at WDW Radio. They were talking about some of the rides should be a light ride, where it would be nice if you didn't have to go through the drop and just see the animatronics of Splash Mountain, because so many people don't get to see that because they don't want to do the drop. And I think the best part of Splash Mountain is actually the animatronics and not the drop. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you're fearful of, heights or, the drop bothers you, I know, like myself, probably the first 5 times I went on it, I didn't enjoy the audio animatronics because I was too worried about what was to come. But once you get over that fear and you're good with it, or it just doesn't bother you, oh yeah, this the elaborate audio animatronics on that attraction, they're numerous. I mean, there's so many different scenes as you go along inside the mountain, and if you don't take the time to enjoy them, you're really missing out. Wouldn't you say there's probably the most of any attraction on property if you added them all up? I mean,
Either that or it's a small world, but it's on par with that. It has a ton, and the point was made of when I was listening to the show, because they said, know how you have the orange and the green over at Mission Space, on that ride, how you have the easy version and the regular version. Like, there's certain rides. Wouldn't it be nice if they had the orange and the green? Like for you, Dan, with Tower of Terror, wouldn't it be nice if there was one that didn't do the drop? It just took you up in the elevator. You could look out, and it would go up and down easy instead of the craziness.
Oh yeah, it
If
would
they
be.
had that option called the chicken ride every once in a while.
Quick story, Doug. Actually, both on Test Track and on Tower of Terror, I've been on that ride where I actually got that. We went on Tower of Terror one time. I get all the way to the top, and we sat there for, I think, 5 minutes. And then finally, it heard the. We just sat there with the doors open for 5 minutes, and then it slowly, slowly, slowly came all the way to the bottom, and we got fast passes to ride again. But so we were stuck up at the top for 5 minutes and never did drop, and slowly came down to the bottom. So that would have been Dennis's ride. And then on Test Track, when they, the first time we went on it after they had redone it to this new version, we took off and it got to a. About the part where you hit the truck, it looks like the truck's gonna hit you, and it slowed down to about, I would say, about 1 mile an hour,
Oh,
and
jeez.
we did the entire outside going sideways at about 1 mile an hour, and so I guess the chicken ride on both of those rides, so.
That's funny, John. I mean, Dennis would love that, but that was the point, because the co-host on there was he was sitting in with Lou. That was one of his ideas, and I said, Dan would love the chicken ride on the Tower of Terror, wouldn't you, Danny?
Yeah, I'd do it. I'd absolutely do it. Although I'd probably be scared that they
They
would
would
just
actually
hit
drop
me.
you.
That was the worst part when we got up to the top. I mean, the view was fantastic because we were at the very top, but it was just that element of, am I going to drop now? Am I going to drop now? Am I going to drop now?
That was
Not
probably
knowing
more
what's
torture
going
than
on.
regular.
Yeah, it was. It was very, very on the edge of your seat type thing, so.
That would have been. I wish I was there with you, John. I'd have had a good time with that one.
It was a unique perspective, especially on Test Track, when you're going outside and just creeping along sideways.
Was it
So,
a hot, sunny day? Did you guys get fried?
I think it was like March, so it wasn't too bad. It was when it opened, so I can't remember what time of year it was when it opened. But yeah, me and my son were on that together with a group of folks that had never ridden it before, and they were going, "What the heck is this?" So,
True Disney. It's a little. This ain't no thrill ride. This is a Disney thrill ride. You do 1 mile an hour.
But yeah, like I said, on both rides, of course, they made it right and gave us fast passes and stuff for later in the day when it was fixed. So
So you got to do it. That was you got the best of both worlds.
exactly, got quite the perspective, and then got to ride it the correct way. So.
There you go. Good
and you'll
stuff.
tell that story for the rest of your life. So that, even though it was a pain the day that it happened, stuff like that that happens out of the ordinary, tends to be something that you're going to remember, and it ends up being something cool.
Yeah, the ride we got, well, not at Disney World, but we got stuck at one of the amusement parks on the on a, their version of the Haunted Mansion, and we had to walk out, and with all the lights on and everything, it was so weird how much different it was, and you get to see that. It kind of ruined that ride for me from then on. I would never go on it again because it was like it didn't scare me at all. You got to see everything.
No, I thought you were going to say you saw all the rubber bands and paper clips holding
No,
the equipment together.
it was actually a decent amusement park.
Okay.
So.
Let's see a story here. B.B. Wolf's Sausage Company at Disney Springs. This is one of those new, I guess I'll call it kiosk, that opened up down there. And yeah, kind of interesting. Disney Springs has opened some big name restaurants over the past year, with STK Orlando, Morimoto Asia, and the Boathouse leading the way. But this doesn't mean that Disney hasn't neglected quick service walk-up offerings. Recently opened are three Disney-owned and operated walk-up kiosks: the Daily Poutine in the town center, Aristocrats, Crepes,
Aristocrats,
and B.B. Wolf's Sausage Company in the marketplace. You'll find B.B. Wolf's Sausage Company just across from T-Rex and the Lego store on the new marketplace causeway. For a kiosk, it is elaborately detailed with attractive signage, including a large fork and sausage on the chimney. Oh, that's pretty cool. I hadn't seen that before. Yeah, and I just hit the picture and advanced about four screens here.
Oh, that's good. The sandwiches, do you get the sandwiches on it then?
Yeah, I think so here. The Big Bad Wolf himself can be seen on the weather vane on the rooftop. The food, as you would guess from the name B.B. Wolf, is all about sausages. So who's liking sausages? Liking sausage is key here. They have the Three Little Pigs sampler, which is a Reuben bacon wrapped with black bean salsa and chili cheese for $10.39. The Portuguese sausage, pickled vegetable slaw and chili mustard, $9.39. Sweet hot sausage, peppers, onions, and marinara. Bavarian sausage sandwich, which is mini meterwurst, braised red cabbage, and spicy brown mustard on pretzel roll for $9.39. An Italian veggie sausage, peppers, onions, and marinara. All sausages are served with house-made pickles. And then you got draft beer and all kinds of fountain drinks. There are five items on the B.B. Wolf's menu, ranging from $8.49 for the veggie sausage to $10.39 for the Three Little Pigs, sampler. The Three Little Pigs sampler consists of a Reuben, a bacon wrapped with black bean salsa, and a chili cheese. Oh, that's pretty cool the way they show that. If you're looking at the pictures, it's kind of a half a bun and
They're like little sausage sliders.
Yeah,
is what they are, basically. You get to try all three.
Yeah, that's awesome. Visually, the dish looks great and is even more impressive when you consider it came from a kiosk. Everything is assembled to order, which reflects in the quality of the dish. But be prepared to wait 5 minutes for your food to be ready once you order. All three had a bit of heat to them, nothing overwhelming, but if you are not a fan of spicy, you might be best to try something else. The bread was fresh baked, and we enjoyed the dish. The side of the house-made pickles, was a nice accompaniment. Priced at $10.39, it represented pretty good value. The dish could certainly work as a lunch or even a dinner, and should be considered as a full-size portion. Then these guys tried the Portuguese sausage, which is served with vegetable salad and chili mustard.
That would probably be my wife's pick there.
Ooh, that looks good. Like a sampler, it packed a bit of heat and had great flavor. The slaw and the pickles were great cooling contrast to the sausage. Costing $9.39, it is a full serving, and it is significantly larger than anything you would get at Epcot's Food and Wine Festival. We were especially impressed with the bread on all the dishes, which was soft and fresh, just how it should be. Along with fountain drinks, you can also find draft beers, including a Goose Island four-star Pilsner and a Yuengling Lager.
You're in, right, John?
I'm in. Sounds good to me. Sausage
yeah, so
and
these
beer,
guys
nothing wrong there.
Yeah, beer and sausage, that is, it goes together. We didn't go in with high expectations, but we are happy to report that B.B. Wolf's Sausage Company is well worth a visit. The food was far better than you would expect from a walk-up kiosk. The fact it's made to order really shines through. The food isn't cheap, but is comparable to other quick-service restaurants at Disney World, and in many cases is a far better option. But compared to a quick-service restaurant, it is significantly flaw. There is no place to really eat it. There are a few stand-up tables near the kiosk, but on a busy day, they are quickly taken. There are a few walls in the area where you might be able to grab a spot, but they are typically occupied by guests waiting for T-Rex, so you may very well end up eating on the move, which is far from ideal. To sum up, B.B. Wolf's is well worth trying. It's perhaps best visited during the daytime when you have a chance to find a place to eat, or be prepared to eat on the move. Operating hours are 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. daily. Check that, blah, blah, blah.
Pull up a garbage can.
Yeah. that's all you're going to have.
I'll tell you what, John, I wouldn't want to be stuck on Tower Terror with you after having your beer and a BB sausage. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'll tell you what, after I gave you guys a rave review about the Hot Dog Hall of Fame out at Universal, this sounds like it might have to go into direct competition with it. And maybe next time we head out there, because this is definitely one that we can, you can hit almost any time at 10:39, and probably me and Lisa could both share the sampler platter and get a good taste of, a couple of the items. And so that's it. A lot of times the new restaurants, we really have to, you have to budget and look at them and say, well, do I really want to spend, the $100, $120 it's going to cost us to eat at Boathouse or something like that. But for this, run
you always
over
have
here and
$20
lunch
to buy a meal.
So.
I'm looking forward to all these places. That's the thing. I can't even, when we finally do get to go, it's going to be like, where? What do you do?
You're going to be trying to go to 8 places at the same time. You're not going to know what to do.
No, it's a bad and good thing all at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. Did you have some stories from another source, Doug, or are you sad?
Yeah, I just also, did you see the homecomings in progress too, Dan? The photos of that, the other restaurant, that Florida restaurant?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, homecoming construction in progress. That's the one, the Florida Fresh kind of deal. It's called the Homecoming now.
Oh, okay.
That restaurant's under construction, too, in Disney Springs now. That's coming close to being done.
Nice.
That's another one. What are you going to do? I mean, really, where are we going with all these restaurants when they're finally done?
Yeah, throw a dart, right? Put up the dartboard and throw one and try to make a decision.
Yeah, because they even have a part of this. The homecoming also has an outside area called the Shine Bar, where you can go and get drinks, and it really looks good. It's supposed to be inspired by all the different flavors of Florida. Chef Art Smith Homecoming Florida Kitchen of Southern Shine is nearing opening, and today we'll have a look. And today we will have a look at the latest construction progress. So I mean, I don't know. It just me and Brent's going to be running around like chickens with our head off trying to figure out where we're eating at.
Yeah, like we keep saying, and then you might have to muscle out, a Wolfgang visit or something like that. So there's going to be some tough choices to be made, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's saying with design inspired by the turn of the century Florida architecture of the late 1800s, Homecoming will feature traditional Southern favorites, including fried chicken, I'm in, spicy shrimp and grits, and his world famous Mockingbird Cafe. So it'll resemble that. The 6,000 square foot, 200 seat restaurant with both indoor and outdoor seating is where Florida heritage meets new Southern cuisine, explained Smith. Homecoming will open this summer in the new town center district at Disney Springs. So I mean, I can't wait for all this, but I don't know. I ain't gonna have enough money to eat all of them.
That's for sure. Or you're going to have to eat 6 meals a day, or, like John was saying, you get the sampler platter here and there, and you just pick and nosh all day long.
Well, Run up to the bar and grab this.
Yeah.
Well, that's the great thing with all the outside seating at all these places. They have it set up so where you can order appetizers, hang out, and not feel guilty for not getting a whole meal, so you can try multiple restaurants in downtown Disney Springs. I'll call it downtown forever.
Yeah, I know. I can't help it either.
It takes forever. I mean, I still call Hollywood Studios MGM. Sometimes.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. So, I mean, it takes a while to transfer. So.
Right. And I know you do it legitimately, not on purpose. You do it mistakenly each time. But, some people get upset like, he's doing that on purpose. It's just my default. I can't help it. If I'm talking and not really thinking about it, downtown Disney just rolls off my tongue.
Yeah, well, even Dixie Landing comes up every once in a while for me.
No, it's true. If it's what you were, what it was when you started going there, you tend to just go back to those names, and no matter how long the name's been changed.
Yeah, it's the Riverside 99% of the time, but every once in a while I'll throw Dixie Landing out there. I think, because John, you showed your resort cups the other day.
And yeah.
That cracked me up because I have quite a few from Dixie Landing. I have the green ones.
Wow, yeah. I still have one of the, I think it's Thumper on it or something.
Yep.
I have one of those somewhere.
Yeah, that was funny. That picture of my Beer Solo's Disney pick of the day, that garnered more likes and more retweets than anything else I've taken. So.
Yeah. Well, those mugs really start a flame and a fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it don't take much to refill of a mug deal.
People love those, and, you know, I love them and wish they'd come back. I mean, they were a great collectible, and, you know, it's just a way to have an attachment to your specific favorite resort. And when they went to those generic, you know, Disney Parks mugs, I'm really disappointed. I mean, I get them because I have to, and I enjoy the program, but I just wish they were all resort-specific. They were so much nicer.
Yeah, it's just another thing that PO's you.
Yep.
Of them making the bottom line coming in effect, instead the bottom line being more important than taking care of the guest.
Exactly.
Because you're not taking care of the guest if everyone's and I know you can make the argument, well, Doug, you want everything the same, everybody to be equal. But, you know, I want a resort specific stuff. Like that Port Orleans Riverside hat you gave me is awesome. The Rose and Crown Pub hat.
Yep.
I like when they have all those specific things. I want my mug. Even if I stay at the All-Star Movies or the All-Star Music, I want my All-Star mug. I don't want it to all be generic. I like the idea of it. Because it saves you money in some ways, too, because you get a souvenir and the drink program all in one.
Right. If you're going to get the drink program anyways, or you usually do, you, like I said, I'm not going to participate in the program because I don't particularly care for the mug. I'm going to do it, but, you know, I'd prefer the other version or whatever. Or, I mean, as crazy as this sounds, even if they said it's a buck or two more to get the resort specific, I'd pay it. That's me.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably, too. I'd be pissed and I'd be yelling about it.
Yeah.
I can't believe these idiots, but... The bottom line, it came down to saving money because it is
right.
Much cheaper to buy a gazillion of them with the same logo than
yep.
having 22 different logos for every different, you know, resort on property. But come on, I mean, they're the little things that mean the most to you when you leave when you come home. I see them Dixie Landing ones, it puts a smile on my face because I had the green ones, I have the red ones. Because remember, they had the red lid
yep.
ones too, and now everyone the last few trips have been purple with Walt Disney World on them.
Well, like I looked at that one and I can remember exactly that specific vacation. But then you look at your other ones that you have and you don't remember because they're all the same now. So, you know what I mean? So, like, we got one from there. We got one from Coronado Springs. And
Animal Kingdom one. And
yeah. So, but and now they all look exactly alike. So you can't tell one from last year or the year before. So, you know.
Now, at least they started doing T-shirts and different things. That's one of the other things we spoke about on the show that's so awesome about the Animal Kingdom Lodge, that there are so many things in their souvenir shop, in their store, the general store. I think that resort has more specific stuff to that resort than any other hotel on property. Would you guys agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because of the, you know, the theme of the... the whole resort, you know, it lends itself to all that African artwork and all the carvings and all that stuff that, you know, except for maybe a store or two in the Animal Kingdom and over in Adventureland, I think there's one store that sells some of that African-inspired stuff. You know, you're not going to get that in all likelihood over in Mouse Gear or some of the other, you know, retail locations on property. So, yeah, if you want specific stuff for that resort and in particular, you know, African-inspired stuff. I mean, it's plentiful there, and
yeah.
it's a huge store with, you know, a diverse amount of merchandise.
Yeah, like the stones and all that stuff that they had in there. That all that stuff's really awesome. Like, did you ever buy some of them stones that they sold in? That you get a bag full of stones.
I have not. I wasn't going to buy rocks, but...
But no, they were...
I know.
They weren't just plain
they
rocks.
They saw you coming, Doug.
No, my godson collects... You know, I have a godson that
gems.
Used to collect them. You
like
know...
The gems, they call them, I think.
They were all polished or whatever, but
yeah.
you know, kids when they're young, they would collect stuff, you know, rocks from wherever they went on vacation.
Yeah.
Like, we have them from Chesapeake Bay and Myrtle Beach, and, you know, it's a hobby.
Right.
You know, I know it's not as cool as Pins or Vinyl Nation to you guys, but, you know, you pick something up that's natural from God's green earth that, you know, you guys think are stupid. You're not paying for rocks, but it's okay.
They came from China, Doug.
Yeah.
But actually, no. my son has still's got a Leaf from Saratoga Springs, probably when we stayed there in 2011, and it's still in his room. So.
What, did he put like in a scrapbook or something?
Yeah, one of those big brown leaves.
Yeah,
but they, it's one of the few trees that we have here that sheds its leaves every year. We were there in October, November. He picked it, and it's a big old leaf too. So he picked it up, and he's had it forever now. So.
That's cool, John. You get it. Don't pick on me like Dan did, you know, buying rocks. It's okay, buddy.
About the resort-specific merchandise, we really noticed that the last time we were walking. What's that?
It's picking up.
Yeah. We walked around to the screen door boardwalk, the shop at the yacht and the beach club, and all three of them had T-shirts, collared shirts, probably luggage tags, and at least four or five other items, glasses, coffee cups that were specific to the resort. So, and that's awesome because we love to pick up a specific item from every resort we stay at. And so, you know what I mean? Just to remember. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. My buddy Den sent me home resort luggage tags from Port Orleans, Riverside. Didn't you,
Den?
Yeah.
I had forgotten about that. Yeah, I mean, I think Port Orleans and there was a couple others that I saw on that trip. They kind of wrote when they were rolling that stuff out, and they said they were going to do the rest of the resorts, which it sounds like they've either done it or in the process of doing it. But I just hope the line expands because, you know, being a DVC member, they you know, they have specific DVC merchandise, but it's limited to like one section of the whole store, and you know, it's only as much merchandise as they can fit in that little section. So, although I'm not complaining.
You're happy they're doing it.
Yeah, I'm happy they're doing something. They could have done nothing, and you know, it serves me right for saying that. But you know, back in the day, Doug, when we first started going there, you know, Riverside, the whole store was just chock full.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, everything was, you know, Dixie Landings this and Dixie Landings
me
that.
Me and Brenda were inches away from, but not just luggage tags, they had luggage in there. You could buy a whole set of luggage that had Dixie Landing on it.
Right.
I bet you wish you had those now, huh?
Oh, you ain't kidding. Yeah, but our first trip, you're right, it was the entire store, and then there was a small section that had other things.
Right, it had the general,
the regular Disney, the Mickey Mouse logo stuff, and a little bit of toys for the kids, but the entire resort was mostly Dixie, and then Riverside, and then it went to the point where it was just the opposite. It's just another gift shop.
Right, you could get the same thing at that store as you could over at, you know, one of the parks or, you know, the water park. It didn't matter. That same T-shirt or that same mug was going to be in every single retail location, and you know, now that's not the case, and that's good. I mean, I just like seeing the resort, and you know, whether you collect, you know, shot glasses or coffee mugs or whatever, luggage tags, you know, you can always pick up something fairly cheap to, you know, commemorate your trip, a ball cap, whatever it might be. You know, I don't know. I just think that's cool.
No, I'm glad they're going back, because I remember back in the day too. Do you remember they used to have like a bunch of artwork too in the
yep.
store of just Dixie Landing, of paintings from all around the resort and stuff like that. I miss all, and I'm glad that like the trend is starting to go back a little bit the other way. Now they just need to change the mugs back the way they were.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny you say that about the artwork, Doug. We found one at a local thrift store just a couple of weeks ago. That's of the Yacht and the Beach Club. It has the lighthouse on it, you know.
But there you go.
A nice paint or a nice print anyway of a painting. So
I miss all that stuff, because there was like we'd roam around the store every trip for a couple hours in and out between the entire trip. Now I go in there all the time, but it don't have the same feeling as what it used to have.
Yeah, because so. Specifically to the Fulton's at Riverside, I mean, you know, the whole, if you're coming from the bus stop there, the whole left side of the store is all the plastic general Disney World merchandise, and you know, not till you get over to the other side really is when you get into some of the clothing and then some of the resort specific merchandise. I don't know, maybe we're just remembering it differently because we want to, but it just seemed like it was much more you know, resort specific merchandise throughout the whole balance of the store,
even in the room, because I got a couple Dixie Landing pens that used to be in the when you would check in, like in your room.
Yep.
Now every pen's Walt Disney World. It just,
right.
Yeah, and I have them. They're on their last legs of writing, but I'll never get rid of them.
You'll have them. They'll be out of ink, but you'll have the plastic housing.
Absolutely. Another thing coming up, guys, and it starts today, the summer concert series. John, I know you enjoy that, don't you?
Yeah. We've seen it a couple of times last year. We caught the Journey one and somebody else. So I was really looking – I was hoping that the Slippery When Wet, the Bon Jovi tribute band, would be coming back, but I didn't see them on the list this year. So
no, it's starting today. It actually kicks off today, June 12th. Which the 12th or the 18th, they got Hotel California. Who sang Hotel California? You guys know that? Come on, make a guess. Do you know who sang that, John?
That would be the Eagles.
Yeah, there you go. A salute to the Eagles. Hotel California, 12th to the 18th. Rumors. Come on, who's that?
Fleetwood Mac.
There you go. A Fleetwood Mac tribute band. That's June 19th through the 24th. June 25th through July 1st is Simply Tina. Wonder who that could be today. A tribute to Tina Turner. July 2nd through the 9th, Staying Alive. Come on, guys, just spit these out.
Bee Gees.
There you go, a tribute to the Bee Gees. July 10th through the 16th, Bruce in the USA. Who could that be? Bruce Lee?
The Shock from Nemo.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, July 10th through the 16th is a tribute to Bruce Springsteen. And July 17th through the 23rd is DSB. You know who that is?
Don't Stop Believing.
There you go. Journey. Very good. Tribute to Journey. That was good. I'm impressed, John. I will buy you a beer next time we're down there for that one.
I'm a child of the 80s. Come on. I know all them groups. So.
Yeah, but I like that they have these. This is a little extra that they do give you for your park price. You know, and all these groups are – I've never seen a bad group around World Showcase. So
no, they're actually all really impressive. Yeah,
the only one is Ben Nim Lumberjacks.
No, we've said this before. I mean, yeah, it comes with your park admission. And even a band that you may not really like or you may not think you like, I've found that even marginal bands – when you're there in the atmosphere and you're having a good day, you tend to, you know, at least enjoy it for what it is. And like you said, Doug, nothing's really horrible. So you're going to see something that's at least palatable. And if you're lucky, something that's real, real good.
I mean, most of the bands that I have seen, I think they were really good. I mean, scale of 1 to 10, I think 8 and up has been every group I've ever seen there as far as these tribute bands. They're usually really, really good. And the last trip, the best time my sister-in-law had on her, that whole trip was when we were over in the United Kingdom. Watching the band play over there, they were awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and the tribute bands, I mean, you know, believe it or not, I guess, you know, some of them are probably better than the actual singers are now because of their age. You know, they can't. When we were there last time, and I think it was Dennis DeYoung, who was the lead singer of Styx, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was there with his. It was, you know, a couple of guys from Styx, but they had broken up or whatever. But they actually had a younger lead singer that actually sang the songs because Dennis is. I think he said he was 70-something years old or something. He obviously couldn't hit those high notes that he did 20, 30 years ago. So he would do the harmony and some of the other things, but he actually had a younger singer that had a similar voice to him do the songs, and it sounded exactly like him. So it was pretty awesome, and, you know, you still got to enjoy at least some of the original members of Styx.
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to those bands. Grabbing a drink, one of the snacks around World Showcase, and just sitting on a table and sitting at a little bench or a table and listening to them play, it's a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as many as I've heard there, I don't think I've actually ever sat down in the Gardens Theater and listened to them, but always walking behind, you know, back there in America and wife's pin trading or something like that, and you catch 2 or 3, 4 songs while you're just wandering around the American Adventure area. So.
Yeah, that's where we usually hang out. We sit on the benches up around the American Showcase and all up in there. We don't usually go down in the pavilion. We hang up top too, on one of the benches or one of the tables over by my favorite Liberty Inn. You know.
In case you get hungry and you got to run in quick and grab a burger, right?
Oh, get a cold burger.
what I can't wait for to eat there, you know. The other thing, Den, is did you see that They opened up your DVC lounge?
Yeah, yeah, I did. I saw that story. You know, they had been saying it was going to open for some time, so it's nice to see that it is open. And, again, that's on the to-do list to get down there and enjoy the amenities in that new lounge.
Let me give you a hint on that.
Uh-oh.
We were there, what was that? It's been 2 weeks? No, last weekend. And that's what I wanted to do. So we headed over there. I forgot to mention this to you guys last week.
Yeah,
but,
it's in the imagination pavilion.
Yeah, and we headed over there, and you have to either have the new card. Dennis, do you have the new DVC card?
Yeah, we got our new cards just a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Okay, yeah, you have to have either the new card or the ability to pull up the digital card on your phone. Huh. You cannot go upstairs with your old card. So,
well, that's not right.
Yeah, that's what I said. I wanted to get in an argument with the guy, but my wife decided that that was probably not a good idea. So
I wonder why that is, though. That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know, but I had my old card, and he would not let us upstairs.
Now, I wonder if there's a, you know, like a scan bar or something or a chip in the new card that they can, you know, quickly check to see that you're legit, where the old card is probably just a plastic. You know, I think it has a MAC stripe on it, but I'm not certain.
Well, like I said, if you can pull it up, if you've got a smartphone, you can pull up the digital one. They'll let you up. But by the time I found that and did all that, she decided she didn't want to go up anyway. So, you know, so.
Yeah, I bet you it has something to do with that they scan you in there, and the old card doesn't have that capability, whatever they're using to do it.
I just thought it was kind of, I don't know, kind of strange that, you know, I mean, obviously I am a DVC member, and it wasn't, I mean, if nothing, I think they could even scan our magic bands and be able to, well, I guess when you're staying out there, they certainly would be able to, but, just make sure you have your new card, so.
You don't get much for $23,000 either.
Not anymore.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool in there. They have the Keurig machines in there for coffee. And then they also have soda machines. Do you ever see those soda machines in the stores that open like offer like 100 different drinks?
Yeah, yeah, I have seen those.
Where you can mix and match. You get your idiot godson who wants to bring back a special flavor for you when you're just thirsty and want a drink, and he wants to add all kind of junk to it.
I got a Coke for a cherry and vanilla.
Yeah, just bring me a Coke, dude.
Bring me some Beverly.
Yeah, but they have they have the computer stations. They have animated shorts playing for the kids. There's charging stations. It's pretty cool for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a perk that now I didn't read the story. Obviously, can you bring a guest? Or do you literally?
I'll read the beginning of it for you. It says the lounge opened on June 6th, and will operate from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily through the 25th anniversary celebration, which will last through the end of this year. Disney Vacation Club members will need their membership card as well as an ID to enter, John.
I had my membership card. I know. I just had my old one.
A cast member will be at the bottom of the stairs and to check. There also is an elevator to check in with your party. You can bring up to 5 additional guests. If the lounge is at capacity, you can leave your cell phone number, and they will text you when the next space is available.
So, John, how do you like them apples? So you couldn't get in with your old card, but if somebody had their card, he could bring in 5 non-DVC member guests before they'd let you in.
Yeah, that's kind of.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah, that's like you said, and that's what I get for my $30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
But you got free USB ports you can charge your stuff at.
Oh, well, that makes it all right then.
I just wish they'd have used the Imagination Pavilion for something else.
They probably will. My guess is this isn't going to be something that's going to be there in 20 years.
Nah. It's just a little added perk. Like, they have the Chase card lounges and all that stuff. So you get free Keurig and free sodas, so.
Yeah. As soon as the 25-year anniversary is over, they'll tear that thing, gut it out, and put something else in there.
But, you know, if you want free coffee, then, if you don't want Starbucks, you can roam up there. At least it's open at 6 in the morning.
Yeah. It's not a bad. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Well, it's early. I mean, it's open early. I mean, the only thing is I don't know how fast it, or 10 a.m., I'm sorry, to 6 p.m. My apologies.
Okay.
But 6 a.m., boy.
Yeah. 10 a.m. My apologies. Well, Future World does open early, but not that early. But 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. But it would be nice to – it'll be nice to roam in there to get some free sodas. I don't know. Now, I wonder if you could bring in, like, mugs or whatever to fill it up with and leave with it.
Yeah, I'm going to say no just on principle.
Yeah.
That would, you know, kill the golden goose, I think.
Yeah, well, I guess you got to get up there and drink your little your little appetizer size. They probably have, like, the 6-ounce cups.
Right, the little Dixie cups.
Yeah, like the ones you get over at the where you do Beverly.
Yes.
The Cool Zone.
Yep.
The Cool Zone.
Exactly.
So do you guys have anything else?
No, I don't. I think it pretty much covers the news this week. And other than that news, I don't recall any major Disney-related topics coming out this week.
No, just that we're all trying to get the heck back down there is the main thing.
Yes.
So your next trip is when, John?
I'm trying to I hate to burst your bubble, but I'm trying to talk my wife into heading over to Universal next week to see King Kong. So,
ooh.
Yeah, if we can
do down,
that.
John.
If we can do that, then we'll probably head over to Epcot World Showcase after that. But I want to get see that King Kong. That looks really, really cool. But other than that, we're going out probably July 3rd to see the fireworks. And I have beat the heck out of my credit cards the last couple of months. I really need to take a couple of weeks off. So I got a vacation coming up. So, you know.
What's wrong with that?
They're on fire, huh, John?
Oh, my goodness. Burnt through my wallet.
So. You only live once, John.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get to go and you give us an update on King Kong. Dennis will actually enjoy that.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, I don't believe you're gonna go to the dark side, but it's okay then.
For that, I really will. It'll be open when I'm down there. I better be careful, or I'm gonna end up over there.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. It's just we don't have enough time. I don't get down there enough to branch away from the Magic Kingdom. You know, I feel like any day I would spend over there would take away from me spending the day in one of my four parks.
Right. And in all seriousness, I wouldn't go over just for one attraction. So if I was going to bite the bullet and spend the money, I obviously would want to see Harry Potter and all that stuff. So I'm looking at a 2-day investment if I'm going to do all that. So, you know, on a 7-day vacation, that probably ain't going to happen.
Yeah, let us know.
If you decide that, you definitely have to coordinate with me because me and the wife would head over and we'll pick you up and drag you over there and stuff like that. And I'm kind of experienced out there, so I would be able to get you on the rides, you know, the lines correctly and get as much done as you could. So.
Could we do it in a day?
It really depends what you wanted to see. And one, the park-to-park ticket is so freaking much. It's like $160 to do both parks. So technically you probably could hit most of the big rides in one day.
But you're saying to enjoy it and take full value, to get full value for the 2-day ticket, you should allocate 2 days, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that would be the best.
Yeah.
Best bet.
Let me think about it. I appreciate the offer. And definitely won't be this trip, but, you know, maybe the trip after, I'll try to do a 10-day or something like that. And that way I can justify it and still get all my Disney stuff in.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, with you, Johnny, it's worth it because you have the annual pass for there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, stomaching that $160 for you and the wife, there's $320. That's a week's ticket for Brenda over at Disney World. You know what I'm saying?
And Universal's sneaky about it, too. Disney, they send me a renewal every year, and we have to go and renew our passes, actually go to the guest services and stuff like that to renew our annual passes. Universal, they just don't say anything and just keep charging your card and your pass is still good. So if you I've got a friend at work who's had an annual pass to Universal for about 5 years but hasn't been in 3.5 years because she just completely forgot that she had it. It was just coming out of her paycheck, out of her bank account every month. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, they're a little sneaky. So.
Yeah, but she's not paying too much attention.
That's what I was just
going to
say. I hope she's not doing the bills in the house because she ain't checking her statements every
month. Exactly. So.
I don't know, but I can't wait to get them both on my credit card when we move down there.
Yeah, that's a bill I want to see on my end.
Yes, exactly. But that's going to be it for this week, guys. If you could, please go over and follow us all on Twitter at our buddy John is at Beer Solo, Dennis is at Oak Manor, and I'm at Grumpy6767. You can follow us all at WDW Main Street. And please go over to iTunes and leave us a review, good, bad, or indifferent. We really appreciate them. And you can follow us all at Facebook. John's always putting up pictures and making us mad that we're not there. But he
I do
does
my
a
best.
Good job. You do a good job, John. We really appreciate it.
You
and
betcha.
We will talk to you guys very, very soon.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Elsa? Do you want to build a snowman? Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore. Come out the door, it's like you've gone away. We used to be best buddies, and now we're not. I wish you would tell me why. Do you want to build a snowman?
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Hang on, I...
Okay, bye.
Wanna build a snowman or ride our bike around the halls? I think some company's overdue. I've started talking to the pictures on the walls.
Hang in there, Joan.
It gets a little lonely, all these empty rooms, just watching the hours tick by.
Elsa, please, I know you're in there. People are asking where you've been. They say have courage, and I'm trying to. I'm right out here for you. Just let me in. We only have each other. It's just you and me. What are we gonna do? Do you want to build a snowman?
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.